Hey everyone, this is Rita Jenkins, and this is the afterword to my anthology, The Intangible Residuum, a collection of stories. Every great anthology I've ever read has either a really fantastic foreword or a very nicely reminiscing and nostalgic afterword to sum up everything that you just read. So I'm going to give my best attempt at, I don't know, readers noting the whole thing for you. Once upon a time, I thought to myself, Self, that was a really great story you just read. And it wasn't the usual kind of story either. It was unique. You should podfic it. You should podfic it is a pretty common response whenever I read a fic I enjoy, just in case you're wondering. And then I kept reading more fanfic and noticing more and more stories that were told atypically and thought, Self, you should make a podfic anthology of all the awesome, different stories that you like so much. And then it kind of grew from there, where I harassed people into recommending me other stories that were unique or different or atypical in some way. And then this thing came about, The Intangible Residuum, a collection of stories. An anthology of several, though by no means all, atypical stories. Whether it's because the story is told in a non-standard format, or if the story itself is weird or crazy or brain-twistingly awesome. Everything here is different. There's only 11 fandoms represented. I don't pretend that this is comprehensive. But I do think that every single story is worth the extra attention. Because you tend to fall into this pattern of, this is the way you have to tell a story. You have to have these things to make it right. And I really like how a lot of these stories are not something that fits that mold. And, important information bit number two. The title. The Intangible Residuum. It comes from a quote by Willa Cather, which goes, "Every fine story must leave in the mind of the sensitive reader an intangible residuum of pleasure, a cadence, a quality of voice that is exclusively the writer's own, individual, unique." Which I felt really summed up what I was trying to get across with this anthology. Because it's not just about how the podficker reads it or how the person sitting on the side of the laptop reads the story. It's about how the author tells it. The author's voice, the author's word choice, the author's formatting to convey something new and exciting. Stories that are told in different, non-traditional, unique manners, and yet are still really amazing stories, and because of that unique format, it makes them even better. That you couldn't just be omniscient narrator, third person, starts at point A to point B to point C, and then the denouement and the conclusion. No, this is something, a different way of looking at it, to make the story stand out all the more. So, all the stories that I picked in this anthology hopefully have that bit of uniqueness to it, and hopefully you appreciated them as much as I did. And here's the part where I do my reader's notes for everything in there. Okay, story one, A Mary Sue Alphabet. Alright, every fanfic reader out there has encountered at least one Mary Sue, and everyone knows that she's the, you know, girl with the most beautiful hair and sparkling purple eyes who's going to end up with every single one of the major heroes, and it's all lovey-dovey and she's so perfect you want to kill her. Which I thought was really interesting to see not only poetry, yay, rhyming, but also these are the Mary Sues. This is a story just about all the Mary Sues in Harry Potter fanfic, which made me smile. Story 2, A Buffyverse Alphabet. Was a sophomore year of college. My roommate had a poster of Edward Gorey's Gashly Crumb Time. Sophomore year of college, my roommate had a poster of Edward Gorey's Gashly Crumb Tiniest hanging on her wall. And if you haven't seen them, they're all like pen and ink drawings of all the gruesome ways that children can die. And at first, I was sort of like, But then I was, and by the end of the year, I was like, okay, this is adorably hilarious. This is the perfect kind of humor, and we're going to be bestest friends forever and ever, and I'll probably invite you to my wedding when I get married one day, and, you know, we've been pretty tied ever since. And then reading the Buffyverse alphabet, not only was I like, oh, this is so creative, it was also like, oh, it's freshman year, or sophomore year, or, you know, me and Ashley, besties forever. So, yeah, yay, I'm glad I got to share that. Story 3, The Monster in the Hat. I may never look at a Dr. Seuss book the same way ever again. Thank you for creeping me out, Kirawa. Story number 4. Keep all hands and feet inside the vehicle. I really enjoyed the concept of this, the idea of Demon Sam trying to repossess his own body. I have this really great fondness for, like, darker versions of all our favorite light characters. But this wasn't so much, ooh, darkness and scary, as it was silly, because Sam, being a demon, would of course be completely ridiculous about trying to repossess his body. And I also really thought that the limerick format was well done, because I have a very hard time with limericks, and I thought it was very cute. Number 5. Like a Virgin. I wanted to try something that was all dialogue. Something that I could maybe do voices a little bit, although I can do accents, and if I've said it once, I've said it 7 million times. I cannot do accents. And see if I could convey, like, this voice is this person, this voice is this other character, and you can tell the difference between the two as I'm reading them. So, hopefully I got that across, and you can tell who's Hermione and who's Neville. It was an interesting experience for me, for all that the story is only, like, 6 minutes long, because it was very, like, ooh, get to play with my acting chops a little bit. And hopefully you all enjoyed that too. Story number 6. Deep thoughts on protective eyewear. At my middle school... Okay, pause and rewind. I have several younger sisters. I have sat through several graduation speeches. 1 year, I had a sister moving up from kindergarten to first grade, a sister moving from 5th to 6th grade, and a sister moving from senior year of high school to college. And at every single one of those moving up graduation commencement ceremonies, the school superintendent gave a speech. The speech he gave every single time, exact same words, I have it on video, was the "don't forget to wear sunscreen" speech. And by the time we'd gotten through all the graduation dinners, I think I knew it basically just as well as superintendent did. So when I read Deep Thoughts on Protective Eyewear, I was like, Xander, you're so funny. So it gave me a great pleasure to record that riff. Next up, podfic number 7, Spark Notes. I have a, I wouldn't say love-hate relationship with the Twilight fandom, but more like, rubbernecking at a car accident? You can't help staring even though you really know you should keep driving by and not involve yourself at all, because the ambulance is already there and you can't exactly add anything to all the carnage, but you can't help watching anyway. So, I mean, I've read a couple of Twilight fanfics that were like, wow, you do not deal with any of the main characters, and I really enjoy that. And at the same time, I have spent many hours making fun of middleist sister's longing and love of the series. So reading Spark Notes was sort of like, hey, this is exactly my thoughts. Let us share them with the internets. Hopefully you appreciated the hilarity and sarcasm and don't feel as though I have offended you. If I did, I'm sorry. It's just maybe not my cup of tea. Maybe not your cup of tea. Just skip to the next one, okay? Podfic number 8, The Missing Bits. This one was very chilling, I thought. When watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer or Angel or reading the comic series, we see this supernatural world from the perspective of someone who's embedded in it. Someone whose everyday life has come to revolve around the beasties and monsters and, you know, the fact that the things that go bump in the night are real. And then reading The Missing Bits, I felt very like, it's the perspective of someone who doesn't want
to admit that they're real. Maybe someone who's had an encounter, but is clinging to the whole gangs on PCP excuse with both hands. And I thought that was a very unique perspective to take, because we know so much about the people whose life is has been embroiled in the darkness and oogity boogities, and the show doesn't really, because that's what the show focuses on. The show doesn't focus on people who get, you know, rescued from the vampire attacks. So I thought this was really a great way of looking at things. Next up, we've got Playing Monsters. This one gets extra bonus unique stamps because it's a dialogue. It's all in dialogue. And it's got flashbacks back and forth. And it's a psycho AAU. I love psychopath AAUs. That probably says something about me, but I love the idea of taking someone who's an established light character, someone who's a good guy, and twisting them so you can see how they would function as a messed up guy, a bad guy. And I felt that this was a very plausible AU. This is something that could have happened if John Winchester were just a little bit more tweaked than he already was. And, oh, okay. So I recorded this bit in two parts. I did all the nurse speaking first, and then I went back and I recorded the, the flashback parts. So I think if you listen really carefully, you can kind of notice that the accent I was going for changes a little bit. In the first couple minutes, the nurse sounds like she's from New Jersey, and then for the rest of the podfic, she sounds like she's from sort of more southern locales. When I was reading it, in my head, she had a southern accent, but it took me a while to, I don't know, attempt that. I don't do accents, so I was kind of surprised that it came out like that. Hopefully, I did it to an effect that didn't offend anyone whose voice actually has a southern accent, and didn't confuse anyone with the odd Jersey twang in there in a little bit. Yeah, I thought this was very chilling, and I really liked the part with Joe at the end, where it was like, oh, this is a conversation she's having, she's not just, like, reminiscing, this is, like, the boys are a case. Ah, brain trip! And it was, I don't know, the story blew me away. Number 10. Sensitivity to initial conditions. This is the kind of Twilight fanfic I like. The AU, the what if, the... Let's take the characters who aren't Bella and Edward and give them a past and a history and a tweak so you can kind of figure out what's going on. And I liked the idea that if this one key thing didn't happen, all the domino effects that would keep going down the line, you know? If Edward doesn't get turned, here's what would have happened to all the other characters whose lives interact with him. And I thought it was a very intriguing AU, because it's the kind of thing you don't think about when you're looking at, like, a vampire story. You don't think about all the huge ripple effects that character who's living forever has had on history. So I thought this was very, like, for a fandom that I'm not a huge fan of, I thought this was a great idea. Next up, we've got Predestiny, which I've put to follow sensitivity to initial conditions, because sensitivity is all about if this thing happens, here's all the way the time progresses. And predestiny is about this thing happened, and then time keeps progressing and hops and jumps and skips, so no one knows what's going to come next. No one knows, Lex doesn't know, and Clark certainly doesn't know exactly what his impact is going to be on time and the things that Lex is meddling with. And I really liked how at the end, it's like, maybe Lex is learning something, but maybe at the same time he just keeps going in a loop and a loop and a loop, and it's all futile for absolutely, and no matter what he does, it's not going to get better. But then you've also got this sense of, each time he goes through the loop, he changes it a little bit, and eventually he'll have changed it enough so that he can avoid the loop in the first place, and I thought it was very, like, a great way to tell a story, because you don't know what's going on. You're just as confused as Clark and Lex until you reach the end when it's like, smack! And then you get it. Podfic number 12. Through Worlds, Worlds. This one's a fusion fic with Avatar, which was one of my favorite movies of 2009, and Zombieland, which I didn't actually see until after I read the fic, but hey, very funny. and the album by Muse, The Resistance. Which, actually, that section kind of reminded me of that movie, I can't remember the title of it, but it's Christian Bale, and it's like, everybody takes a pill, and they don't have emotions, but then he's like, and he's like a cleric, and he wears like the really ugly clothes, and he's like, oh, emotion, and he starts a revolution. Which reminded me of that a lot. And I thought it was very interesting to see how these, the characters that she creates in this story, how they might reflect or be reflections of what we consider canon, or, you know, the real world. Plus, alternate universes, those are unique, and I got to put clips in from audio from the movies and from the CD, so that was fun too. So that was another, there's its uniqueness. Podfic number 13, A Walk on the Dark Side. What's more unique than the mirror universe, right? And I liked the rewind, stop, play, rewind, stop, play element of it, how these characters kept going back and trying to redo things so that they could get it right, but at the same time their true character was showing through, and it's like, okay, they're basically good guys. They're not going to have a great time with the mirror universe thing going on. And the bit with the breaking the fourth wall at the end, that made me smile too. But, I mean, yeah, seriously, what's more unique than the mirror universe? Well, mirror universe without goatees. Number 14. A priest, a rabbi, and an ATA user walk into a bar. Well, this one's not so much storytelling as, like, taking canon for a walk and setting it loose to roam around in the corny joke section of your brain. Because each one of these jokes is like, yes, I could totally get how you would get this from the stories that we already know from canon. And also, it just made me laugh really hard. I was like, I want to see if I can practice my comedy. So, there's that. Number 15. 5 stories Becky Rosen wrote. The format of this was like, this is awesome. I have seen this meme in so many places on LiveJournal, and I know people who could have very similar answers to this. And it was really great seeing Becky's answer to this, because I know she gets kind of portrayed as the really crazy, really scary fangirl, but at the same time, like, I've had those moments, and I can't say that if I were to meet Sam and Dean, I wouldn't react differently. So it was really cute seeing, like, what we know of season 5, and then the fanfic Becky has been writing about season 5, which just made me smile. Number 16, Mr. Hansen. Hey, it's a letter. There's uniqueness. Hey, it's a letter between two characters about fanfic. There's uniqueness. Hey, I actually learned a whole bunch of legal stuff, including how to pronounce all the little abbreviations in the fanfic about, you know, courtroom jargony stuff. I'm sure there's a fancy word for that too, but I learned a lot while I was reading this, and I had a fun time recording it. And I liked the idea that it was real-world answers applied to a fanfic scenario. Plus, letters. Letters are unique. And number 17. Investigation into the effects of Zatnik's Hellfire upon the common peep, by Samantha Carter. I loved that this was a lab report. This was so much more exciting than a lab report I have ever written. And I love that even when it's, you know, the rigid format of hypotheses, experimentation, conclusion, even in the rigid format of a lab report, you still get to see the character of all the members of Team SG-1, and the way that, like, yes, this is the structure of a lab report, this is a unyielding and unbending format of writing a story, but even all the things that aren't said makes you have this whole image in your head of, these are all the funny things that are going on in the background. Number 18. Excerpts from the Daybook of Virginia Potts with Zombies. I had a lot of fun with this one. I got to fool around with vocal filters to give the Iron Man voice. And when I was reading it, I imagined it as Pepper Potts carrying around, like, an old-school PDA, like a Palm Pilot, and talking into it as she's recording her daybook. Not so much sitting down writing in a journal as she's just, like, recording her notes for future, I don't know, historical reference or whatever. So that's how I was able to imagine Tony hacking into her daybook. He just, hacked into the wireless on her PDA. And also, the zombie apocalypse. Yay for zombie apocalypse! I have a thing for the zombies. I enjoy their stories. So that was fun. Number 19. The Very Secret Diary of Lieutenant Laura Cadman. It gets unique points for being a diary. And also, I thought it was very fun to see, like, if you already know seasons 1 and 2, all the missing bits are filled in for you when you're reading this and you sort of know what she's talking about. But if you don't know season 1 and 2 of Stargate Atlantis, simply hearing about things from Laura's perspective make them seem a lot more BOOM! Explosions! Fire! And less alien vampires, you know? I thought it was very fun seeing a character that's sort of secondary get a voice. And then, number 20, The Very Secret Thoughts of Clark Kent. I have a thing for journal-style stories. I feel like, yes, it's an unreliable narrator, and yes, you don't get the viewpoint of anyone else but your narrator, but it's such a fun, like, format for a story, and seeing Clark Kent's format as he goes goth, like season 1, yes, it's teenage angst, and yes, it's teenage angst while wearing fishnets and black eyeliner, but it was just so cute. I mean, I know Clark in the whole story, he's like, no, I'm not cute, I'm angsty and I have pain, but it was real, I thought it was very cute. So I hope you enjoyed that one too. And then number 21, Captain's Log, Draft. Again, bonus points for formatting. There were several parts in the written text where things have been crossed out or subscripted because it's supposed to be, these are the things that Kirk is either dictating to the computer or writing on post-it notes or whatever. So I tried to do a little bit of reading too fast, reading really slowly, reading with sarcasm, as though these are the things he's writing down to himself. And I like that it was the rough draft version. It's not the official report. It's far more stream of consciousness, which I thought was very fun. Number 22. Five authors who didn't write Stargate Atlantis. Okay, first up. Yes, I know I said Socrates instead of Socrates. I had just watched Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and you know the scene where they're piling everybody out of the phone booth, and he's like, and, this is Socrates Johnson, and that stuck in my head, and I didn't want to go back and re-record the entire fic for just the one word, but I really enjoyed how this was characters that we know and love and have established as who they are, set in, not like AUs, but crossover fics, set in a possible world you get through the Stargate. Seriously, so many billions of planets, there's bound to be a Pride and Prejudice world out there somewhere. And the Winnie the Pooh, and the Sir Thomas Malory, and just the everything about this story was like, yes, this is something that needs to be recorded. And I thought that the way that the author manages to capture these really, the essence of these Stargate Atlantis characters in such varying settings was very worth listening to. Number 23, Imaginary. I know that this one, the formatting isn't unique, but the way the story is told. This one was recommended to me when I was like, casting out the net for, tell me more things that are weird or different. The way the story is told. I read the story, and I got to the last line of it, and I'm like, are you shitting me? I've been watching the wrong show this whole time? And it left me with such a moment of like, brain trip, freezing, smack you upside the head with a fish kind of moment, that I had to include it. It's an incredible AU with something that you don't even think about until after you've already read the fic. It's like, oh, well, why didn't they do that? And then you read this fic again and you're like, oh, that's why. And just, AUs are awesome. And the last one, number 24, Into the Woods, Some Other Girl's Fairy Tale. This one gets unique points for two things. Well, one of them is the whole Lana perspective, because She's not my favorite character for a lot of reasons, but seeing, I don't know, all of the seasons through her eyes is something that I haven't read a lot of, and to me that felt very unique. And also, the way the story is written, the word choices, the allusions to the different fairy tales, I was like, oh, I know that story. Oh, I know that story. Oh, you know what'd be really cool? If someone wrote a small little story about the harp that was made out of the dead girl and sung by herself, and, well, then I had a moment of, Jesus Christ, how many morbid fairy tales do you know? But reading this, you get the feeling that you're, like, walking through the library of Lana's mind, and she's making, there's all these, like, this fairy tale goes with this episode, and this fairy tale goes with this episode, and this piece of oral tradition goes with, you know, this strife between the two characters. And I really loved how, for such a surreal and unearthly bit of prose, it managed to encapsulate the entire series, which I thought was very cool. So, that's my reader's notes slash afterword. I feel like I should say some more about how, yay for fanfic and exploring our horizons and being creative, but I'm not really sure what else to say right now. And I will leave you with this note. If you come across a story that is not a fandom represented here already, and is unique by way of format or viewpoint or timeline or language or whatever, feel free to send me a message, drop me a link, because I would totally be up for making a second collection. You can contact me at reena.jenkins@yahoo.com or at rena-jenkins.livejournal.com. Because seriously, feedback is awesome. Let me know what you think about this. And yeah, it would be so cool to make a second anthology. So I am recruiting all of the internet to help me find new stories. And because I don't think I've actually put into words my immense gratitude and thankfulness to everyone who's helped put together this project, I would like to give a great big shout out, thank you, hug to all the authors who have let me use their works. Irony Chen, Shadows Cast, Kirawa, Somnolent Blue, Fei J, Liz Marks, Adarshana, I'll Be Darned, Giselle LX, Suzvoy, Standing Fic, Things with Wings, Rhymer 23, Rivka T, Penknife, Sentient Citizen, Marda Hin, Viridian 5, Mint Amaretto, Dune DRD, and also to Fractals Angel, without whom I would not have cover art at all. Thank you for letting me use your stock art. And also to everyone on my journal who has helped recommend me stories or told me, that's a cute fic, but you can't read that out loud. Or just simply encouraged me and egged me on and was like, yes, finish this. Thank you to you as well. Okay, thanks for listening to me babble and, you know, for the 4 hours of me reading. And, have a nice day.